Reverend Sam, thank you. Thank you so much. Let's give Reverend Sam a big hand of applause. Thank you. I love you with all my heart. And it's an honor to be here in this beautiful studio. And then I really want us to celebrate Mama Cynthia from the Potter's House. An honor to have such a matriarch of faith bringing us the word. It's truly a rare opportunity, a rare privilege. Mama, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you for the word that you have brought. I'll be speaking for a few minutes and then we'll be praying. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the Frontline Women Conference. Thank you for the honor of bringing your word to the nations of the earth. Thank you for Reverend Sam and this beautiful ministry. Lord, I pray that your word will come with power. It will come with conviction. It will bless our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I'll be teaching for a few minutes, after which we'll just have some time to just pray. And the Lord put it in my heart to just share a scripture that I think is very instructive. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. The Bible in this scripture talks about a very strange scenario. Let me read from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master," the Bible says, "and an honorable man, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." The Bible says, but he was a leper. So it's very interesting that the scripture starts with a situation that is very disturbing, that a man is a leper with leprosy needing a miracle. Then the Bible says, verse 2, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel." Now pay attention. The Bible is introducing something very strange, that they brought from captivity a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now let me just drop this and explain this. This is a very interesting situation. The Syrian army go to attack the nation of Israel, and then they bring a little slave girl. Now, you must understand that this little girl had been detached from her family. This little girl had been detached from her tribe, her kindred, and she came and was made to wait upon Naaman's wife. Verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would have recovered him of leprosy." Now, we're teaching and I'm challenging women. This is a slave girl. I'm sure we're still together. Now, this is a slave girl that is in captivity. A legitimate ground to be offended. A legitimate ground to remain a mediocre. But this lady had to come out of the anger and the offense from being under the captivity of Naaman and so on and so forth. Imagine what this lady would have gone through, being separated from her loved ones, her kindred. And yet, in the midst of it, she had a kind heart enough to observe the predicament of Naaman, her master. This is very powerful, because one of the reasons why many people do not rise is they give a lot of excuses. My background did this. I came from maybe a polygamous family. I came from a dysfunctional family. And those factors may be very legitimate. But here is a little girl who is teaching us a lesson that is very instructive. Coming as a slave, being alienated from her family, her kindred, and yet she looked past all these and was ready to begin to solve a very major problem in the life of her mistress's husband. Very, very powerful, very instructive. Then she said, verse 3, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of leprosy." How many of us have refused to rise to live out the fullness of our potential simply because there might be legitimate grounds I didn't go to school early. You can say, I came from a family that did not have any system of advantage. You can say, I gave my life to Christ very late. I came from a non-Christian background. The first lesson that we learn from this precious little slave girl, isn't it amazing that the Bible does not even give her a name? A nameless slave girl who defies the situation that she found herself in and now began to provide a solution. She would have been angry. She would have been offended. You have to conquer anger, offense, the limitations of your background yesterday if you want to make meaning out of your life. So this is the first lesson here. A nameless slave girl. That is really a stigmatizing identity. At least she would have been respected enough to be given a name. And yet she looked beyond it and was ready to bless her master. Let me speak to somebody in the name of Jesus, that regardless your background, regardless yesterday, regardless everything that happened in your yesterday, your background, I prophesy to you that in the name of Jesus, if you will look past yesterday, your family background, the limitations of your school, the limitations of those who loved you, those who didn't love you, and if you can look away from all of those things, I prophesy to you that your destiny is opening up in this season in the name of Jesus. From the US to the UK to Nigeria, South Africa, wherever you are connecting from, I speak to you. Lending my voice with Reverend Sam, lending my voice with Mama Cynthia, we prophesy to you as a threefold cord. In the name of Jesus, you rise from that ashes. In the mighty name of Jesus. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise.
Yes.
It says, shine, for your light is come. Amplified says, arise from the prostration and the depression that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. You must quit giving excuses, keep blaming father, quit blaming mother, quit blaming the government. This was a lady who was minding her business with her family, and then the family comes into captivity and she's taken as a slave girl. And yet she looked away from it and was ready to maximize her potential. Lesson number one. When you read on, the Bible says, verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter. Now a letter was written by Naaman's boss to the king of Israel about Naaman's healing. And the king was afraid because he thought it was a setup for another battle, you know, and so on and so forth. And then Elisha in verse 10 gets to hear that message. And he says, send Naaman to me so that he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman comes to Elisha, and then Naaman is given an instruction to go and wash in the river of Jordan 7 times. Now, historically speaking, Jordan was not a clean river at certain seasons. It was messy, it was muddy. It would take a lot of humility and embarrassment for you to dip yourself within that season in Jordan. And now, there was a very legitimate complaint. Verse 12. Naaman cried and said, are not Abana and Pafa rivers in Damascus, are they not better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in rage. Now, my lesson is not Naaman, it's a little girl. But because a little girl defied her background and began to provide solutions. Did you know that every time we talk about this part of scripture, we don't talk about the little girl. Our focus is the prophet and the one who it took a nameless, faceless, supposedly defenseless, safe girl to connect a man to his healing, a man to his miracle. It took a lady to defy. The Bible starts by saying Naaman was a great man. He was a valiant man. But had he not met the slave girl, he would never be whole. Women, let me speak to you in the name of Jesus. Do not allow society and do not allow culture to put you down and feel you are insignificant and irrelevant. And let me tell you something. You do not need a name to make impact. We do not know the name of this slave girl. We do not even know her background. All we know is that she was used by God to be a conduit, a connection point for Naaman to meet Prophet Elisha, and then to bring her miracle. You don't need to have a church. You don't need to have a company. You don't need to have all of this. These things are important. But the most important thing is a recognition that I am valuable, a recognition that I was sent as a gift from heaven to the earth. The Bible says there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came as a witness to the truth. Refuse to believe you are weak. Refuse to believe you are a non-entity. If I were you, I'll be praying in the spirit, prophesying that I am not weak. I reject the limitation of yesterday. I reject the limitation of my background. Doesn't matter what part of Africa you're watching from. Doesn't matter what part of the world. Does not matter the situation you are in. Believe in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are able to rise to that place of destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you one more scripture and then we'll begin to pray. I sense this presence of Lord very strong in this place. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, from verse 12, very instructive scripture. Please turn with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians from verse 12. 1 Corinthians from verse 12. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul is teaching right now, and he's teaching on the body of Christ from verse 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so is Christ. Now he says, verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be Nigerians or Americans, whether we be black or white, whether we be from Africa, from Asia, does not matter. The Bible says that we have been baptized into Christ. Now, verse 14 is where the instruction starts. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's a question. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? It says, if the whole body were Joshua Selman. Amazing scripture. Wow. If the whole body were Joshua Selman, you would think the world would be a better place. No, there would be many dimensions of God that would not be captured. Because Joshua Selman is only an effective member of the body. That means there is a woman listening to me right now who has not brought her potential for all of us to benefit from. That means there is a dimension of God that my life must enjoy, but it's locked up in some woman somewhere. It's locked up in some young lady somewhere who has been lied to by the devil that just because you are not in ministry, just because you are not a public figure, you do not have something to contribute to creation. The Bible says that the eye and the ear, even though they may look like insignificant parts, but that they play vital roles in making the body whole. Very powerful message. Wow. 20. But now are there many members, but of one body. Now listen, 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. In the name of Jesus, whoever has told you, subliminally or directly, that you are not relevant in God's program, I stand agreeing with Reverend Sam, Mama Cynthia, to cancel that voice. I cancel the voice of your background. I cancel the voice of your sociological context. Every voice that speaks against you speaks to your mind, making you believe that just because certain opportunities were not captured in your sociological space, that you do not have a place of relevance in destiny. I reject that voice. I rebuke it over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here is my verse of emphasis. We're still on 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 22. Very powerful secret. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Are you with me? It says, and those members of the body which we think are less honorable. Women, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. America, listen to me. Africa, listen to me. The broken, listen to me. The dejected, listen to me. Those who might be listening in the ghettos, those who might be listening in the inner cities and feel downcast, hear the word of the Lord. It says that those members which think to be less honorable, it says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. It says, for our comely parts, 24, have no need, but God had tempered the whole body together, given more abundant honor to the part which was lack. Now, let me explain this to you. That means in God's economy, the more you are honored, the more you are hidden. That means when you are in the background, I'm talking from this wonderful studio, and there's a set of brilliant people, the engineers are working behind the scene. You may not see them, but these are the intelligent minds that are making this broadcast to reach the world from this point. And the Bible says, in God's economy, He considers them even more honorable than the vessel communicating. This is hardly a truth that we can understand, because we live in a celebrity context, and that is wonderful. The face you see is the face you celebrate. The face you see is the face you honor. I understand that you honor Elisha. He's a man of God. His impact is obvious. I understand that you celebrate Naaman. He was a valiant man. But do you have the recognition to celebrate the slave girl? She was never seen in the picture. Yet in God's economy, she was the reason why everything good happened. I want to speak to someone, a mother who is watching me, who has an intercessory ministry. You may never be seen. You may never go on air, but you may be the person interceding for the Joshua Selmans and the Reverend Sam Oyes and the Mama, you know, Cynthia and all of the people around the world. Did you know that every man of God will tell you that the faceless prayer warriors, the faceless financial partners are the ones who continue to lift up our hands as we serve the purposes of God. So while you clap for us, while you celebrate the Joshua Selmans, while you celebrate the Reverend Sam Oyes, we are humble enough to tell you that the equation is not complete until you give some honor to the nameless slave girls, the nameless intercessors, those who continue to inconvenience themselves to see that Christ is glorified through our lives. Is someone being blessed? The more hidden you are, the more honorable you are before God. Women, hear me. You may never have the opportunity to go on air. You may never have the opportunity to pack crowds in a stadium. You may never have the opportunity to be celebrated. You may never have the opportunity to be known. But let me tell you this. From where you are, you can begin to maximize your destiny. He told Abraham, lift up your eyes from where thou art, not where you want to be. Where you are is enough to start making impact. You can start with your neighborhood. You can start blessing everyone around you. Very instructive scripture. I have never seen my heart, and yet my entire biological frame depends on it. I have never seen my veins. I have never seen my arteries. They are hidden. And the Bible says anything hidden is hidden because it is glorious. God shows how much He honors people and things by hiding them, not just exposing them. So we see that in the building of the tabernacle, there were three compartments. The outer court, the Bible tells us. The inner court, the Bible tells us. And then we come to a strange compartment called the most holy place. And that in that place, covering it was a veil. And then the ark of God was right inside. It carried the highest dimension of glory, and yet it was the part that nobody was allowed to see. You don't have to be seen to be visible. You don't have to be known to be impactful. You just have to be determined. You just have to be insistent. You just have to be resilient and to be passionate enough to say, I can do the best that I will do where I am with the grace and the supply of the Spirit that I've been given. I made up my mind and you know, when I started out in life and ministry, I sincerely did not have any ambition to be known, to be recognized, to be honored. I just loved Jesus with all my heart. My God, could this be a message for someone? I didn't say this in passing, that the foundation of an impactful life. Now, I respect you from whatever faith, whatever religious belief, whatever your religious or your spiritual orientation is. I have profound honor for you. But then my values are framed from Scripture. And Christ is the foundation of Scripture. So please allow my bias as I celebrate this man who has made my life what it is today. The foundation for an impactful life is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then Scripture opens you up to a platform that gives you the fortitude, the determination. Please rise above and beyond your limitation. I know you went through a divorce. I understand. I know you went through a miscarriage. I know that you went through all kinds of things. People misunderstood you. I understand. I know you went through family members who betrayed you. I understand. I know you went through all kinds of things. Some of you, probably your property, your house was repossessed. And you know, the pandemic has brought in a lot of, you know, loss and all of that. I understand. Some of you are behind on your bills. I understand. Some of you are going through all kinds of things. I'm not inhuman. The Bible says that we do not have a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I define compassion as the ability to be touched with the feelings of people's infirmity. So I understand. And at the end of my broadcast, I'm going to be praying and prophesying and speaking over your life. However, the Bible says, this one thing I do. Hallelujah. This is a message for some adorable woman, some adorable sister, some adorable mother from a part of the world that I do not know and I may never get to. But listen to the word of the Lord. Frontline woman, listen to the word of the Lord. Frontline prophetess in the making, frontline business women, frontline CEO, frontline mother, hear the word of the Lord. It says, this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind. Forgetting the things that are behind. God is speaking to someone. Forget the things that are behind. You cannot continue to complain about your childhood. You can't continue to complain about the pain of yesterday. You can't continue to complain about who disappointed you and who failed you and your marriage and all of that. You can't continue to complain about your son, your daughter, your relatives who did not show you love. You can't continue to complain about people who did not appreciate you. It says this one thing, and that is my message to you. Our global family, listen to me. This one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind. You cannot press until you learn to forget some things. When your mind is beclouded with so many unnecessary luggages, they will not give you the fortitude to press. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Paul says, I press. Someone prophesy to yourself that I forget the things that are behind and I press. Prophesy, prophesy. You're following from whatever platform. I'd like you to prophesy to yourself. In the name of Jesus, I forget about the things that are behind. I forget about the fact that ministry did not work yesterday. I forget about the fact that family did not work yesterday. I forget about the fact that my background did not work yesterday. And in the name of Jesus, I press. Prophesy to yourself. Say, I press. I press by faith. I press by resilience. I press by diligence. In the name of Jesus. The road may be rough, but I press. I may be misunderstood, but I press. I may not be appreciated, but I press. I may not be accepted, but I press. My background may limit me, but I press. The door may refuse to open, but I press. Someone prophesy. Let it be your word of prophecy. I press. I press. Mother, you are a single mom, but press. 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 That boy you see is a prophet in the making. Press. Press. Now is not the time to give up. You have come too far. I press.
I'm speaking to a pastor who is discouraged and about to quit ministry. Forget the past and press. I'm speaking to a woman of God. You were in ministry and for some reason things just went haywire. In the name of Jesus, it's time to shake up yourself and press. I'm speaking to a young lady. You were in business and things went bad and you lost your money. You lost your investments. Stop complaining about what did not happen, what did not go well. Obtain grace to press. The anointing to press, we release it. In the name of Jesus. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press. Apostle, I gave my best, but I was not appreciated. Forget about that and press. Apostle, my husband does not appreciate me. I would have been happier if he appreciated me. I will pray for you and I know tomorrow that will come. But for now, forget the things that are behind and press. This is a prophetic word for someone. If you can press, the door will open. If you can press, tomorrow will meet you. If you can press, the breakthrough will come. Forget like the slave girl, the pain of your captivity. I know you were cut away from father, from mother, cut away from opportunity, cut away from school, cut away from church, cut away from friends. But now is the time to forget yesterday and press. And press. And press in prayer. And press. Go and buy the book again and begin to read. Go and prepare to start the business again. Hallelujah. I press. Towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. I press. Oh, this is a wake-up call. I sense a strong anointing just through the airwaves to the nations. God is waking someone up. It's time to press. Go back to that business again. It's time to press. Go back to your son again. It's time to press. This one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind. Let me tell you something about yesterday. Yesterday always wants to relieve itself in your today. You must, there are two doors in your life. The door that connects your yesterday and your today. And the door that connects your today and your tomorrow. Both doors desire to be opened. If you open the door that connects yesterday to your today, you will destroy yourself. It will hold you and keep pulling you back into yesterday. For someone in the name of Jesus, I know you may be in tears watching me now, but obtain grace from God to shut the door that connects your yesterday and today. Wave yesterday goodbye. I know I rejected Jesus yesterday. Wave it goodbye. I know that I lived a lazy life. Wave it goodbye. I know that I lived a life that was not the best. Wave it goodbye. I know I did not give my best to my studies. Wave it goodbye. I know I was careless over my finances. Wave it goodbye. Shut the door that becomes the bridge between yesterday and today so that you can open the new door that connects your today to your tomorrow. Now, many of you here following may be business people, and many of you may have studied the lives of business people. Almost all successful people I know in business and in ministry came from backgrounds that you would not imagine that they could conquer. Some of them came from dysfunctional families. Listen carefully. Some of them came from abusive homes. Some of them came from backgrounds. Some of them had their loved ones speak to them and said you would never become anything. But a time came in their lives, and may that time be now in the name of Jesus for someone. A time came when they made up their minds, whether you like me or not, whether you believe in me or not, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will forget the things that are behind. And press. So back to my text. The slave girl coming from captivity with a legitimate ground to be angry, with a legitimate ground to be hurtful, with a legitimate ground to live a resentful and a mediocre life. But she made up her mind and said, I cannot do anything about my slavery. I cannot do anything about the fact that I may not see my people again. But this one thing I can do. I will use the opportunity before me now to serve my way to relevance. Never will we talk about 2 Kings 5 without ignoring the lady. I have no name, but I must have impact. I have no name, but I will create a name out of my kind heart. We are about to pray. Listen to me carefully. You did not connect to this broadcast by mistake. You may be in the US, UK, South Africa, Ghana, the Caribbean, somewhere not known, somewhere we cannot see, but right where you are, in your car, your room, your office space, I want you to lay your hand on your chest and I'd like you to make a determination that from today, no more excuses. No more excuses. I follow the path of the slave girl. No more excuses. Apostle, the coronavirus is the reason why I'm not doing well. I understand and I sympathize with you. But tomorrow should not come and meet you complaining about yesterday. I make up my mind to start again. One of the most powerful English words, in my opinion, is the word again. Again. The privilege of going back. And Adam knew his wife again. I understand what happened between Cain and Abel. But would that be the end of Adam and Eve? The Bible says Adam knew his wife again. Businessman, go back again. Pastor, go back again. My precious sister, go back again. Dear single mom, go back again. I call you frontline women. Hear the word of the Lord. This is a prophetic clarion call. Arise. Go back again. Arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Enough of crying, enough of weeping, enough of blaming. Take responsibility and arise again. I like us to pray. We're going to pray. Jesus, I sense such an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you are crying. Jesus, Kabo Shalabado Siata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us a very strange story. I'm wrapping up now. That there were two gentlemen in a family. And the Bible let us know that their father was a responsible man who took care of them. But one day, one of the sons made up his mind and said, I do not want the influence of my father over my life again. I want to live my life the way I want. Father, give me my portion. Isn't it amazing that in this kingdom we don't own things? We only have access. Ownership is what brings lack. An ownership mentality. The young man never had lack, provided he was under the influence of his father. But he said, I want it in my name. And the father honored him. And the Bible says he went and lived a riotous life. And his resources began to deplete until he got to a point where he had been so reduced and he was feeding with swine. But one day, hallelujah, there is always a one day. According to the law of time and chance, there is always a one day. The Bible said, and I'm speaking to someone prophetically, the Bible says he came to himself. Oh, hear me, dear viewer, come to yourself. Come to yourself. You are not that weak woman. You are not that weak man. You are not that weak businessman. You are not that big weak businesswoman. Come to yourself. He says he came to himself and he said, there are times you need to look at the mirror and start prophesying to the person you see. God is speaking to someone to look at your mirror and prophesy and say, I did not see a weak man as I looked through that mirror. No, I'm not seeing a feeble person. I see a strong person. The Bible says he came to himself. And here's what he said. A conversation from himself to himself. How many hired servants do my father have? And I am here feeding with swine. And he said, I will arise. Jesus, this is a message for someone. And I said, I will arise. and I will go back. I will arise and I will start that business again. I will arise and go back to ministry. I will arise and go back to school. I will arise and go back to my mother. I will arise and go back to my family. He says, I will arise and go back to my father. And when I meet him, I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am not worthy to be called your son. However, I will not also sit with the swine. Accept me as one of your servants. And now here's the miracle. Watch this. The moment he started leaving, his father also left home. His father never met him with the swine, and he did not have to meet the father in the house. Somewhere, there was a meeting point. So the moment you stand up, as you move, God also begins to move. There will be a meeting point between you and destiny. The prodigal son did not have to reach home to meet his father. And yet his father did not come to meet him in his rot. He had to indicate with his determination that he was ready to go back. Listen to me. God will not come and meet you necessarily in your mess. You have to get up and make up your mind that I'm coming out. In the name of Jesus, I'm coming out. Lazarus, come forth, he called him. And listen to me. When he called Lazarus, Lazarus had to find a way of coming forth, even though he was bound with grave clothes. When he came forth, then he was loosed. We can lose you. We can lose that obstacle. But are you willing to come forth? Jesus did not go to the grave to bring Lazarus out. He only gave a command. Lazarus, I have now supplied the grace. Come out of that grave. So I am speaking to you. Frontline women. Frontline man, come forth. Come forth in the name of Jesus. Frontline woman, come forth in the name of Jesus. If you are willing to come forth, then the grave clothes will be removed. If you are willing to forget about the slavery, then God can connect you to Naaman and you will become part of the history of greatness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of you following, I want to give you a few prayer points now. I want you to pray this with all your heart. Shut your door if you have to. Go to your restroom if you have to. Anywhere, you must find yourself a place of comfort, because we're about to pray. We're discussing serious destiny issues here. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to conquer yesterday, to conquer the limitation of my background, of my past and of yesterday. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Grace. Grace. I obtain grace. Someone is praying from the US. Someone is praying from UK. Someone is praying from Nigeria, Abuja, Lagos, Jos, everywhere. Someone is praying from South Africa. Someone is praying from Ghana. Someone is praying for Dubai. Someone is praying from Canada. Lift your voice and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, I obtain grace. I'm tired of complaining about yesterday. Like the slave girl, I'm ready to forgo yesterday for the excellency of tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. No more excuses for failure. No more excuses for weakness. No more excuses for limitation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, Apostle Paul said, there is, as it were, many voices. And he says, none of them are without significance. There is the voice of God. There is the voice of your failure. There is the voice of your background calling on you. No one ever rose from your family to a point of notoriety. And he says, you have to conform to that status quo. Right now, we are going to shut voices. Say, in the name of Jesus, every voice speaking to my mind, speaking to my destiny, a counsel that is not of the Christ, I silence you. Be silent. Lift your voice and begin to pray. I silence suicidal voices. I silence voices that reject my rising. I silence voices that haunt me with my background. I silence voices that haunt me with my sociological context. In the name of Jesus, I rise. I rise. I silence those voices. I silence those voices. Someone pray. I silence those voices. Your father said you will never amount to anything. Your mother said you will never amount to anything. Prophesy to yourself. In the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Starting again requires courage. Courage. When Joshua, watch this. In Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1, the Lord appears to Joshua after the death of Moses. And he said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. You've been crying and you've refused to get up to take that mantle of responsibility. I am aware that Moses is dead. I've given you enough time to mourn Moses. But Joshua, it's time to move. You cannot keep mourning Moses forever. Joshua, my servant, is dead. Now, Moses, the mandate is upon you. And then it says, be strong and of good courage. I want to speak to someone. Yesterday is dead. I know that you lost a body part because of the accident. I know that you went through a divorce. I know that you went through a lot of things, but Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm prophesying to someone now. Moses is dead. He was a great man when he was alive. For someone, it's time to close one business and start another. The business pre-COVID is dead. The family pre-divorce is dead. You have to stand up like Joshua, and you must be ready for a good start. A new beginning. And he said, be strong and of good courage. Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I am strong, I am courageous to start again, to rise again, to shine again, to speak again. Lift your voice and begin to pray. I obtain strength and courage. Shabakato selekata. I obtain strength and courage as a businessman. I obtain strength and courage. They may laugh at me, but I will start again. They may mock me, but I will start again. Someone is praying in the name of Jesus. My family members may not believe in me, but dear woman, start again. Start again. I lost my house, but I will start again. I lost my family, but I will start again. I lost my place in ministry, but I will start again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It is never too late. We are praying. The Bible talks about a strange man called Samson. He was a valiant man in his lifetime. But a time came in his life where he gave himself to Delilah. And the Bible says when they caught him, the first thing they did was to pluck out his eyes. His access to light and illumination. And then they cut off his hair, a symbol of his strength, his honor and glory. And then they took Samson to a temple and began to mock God. And Samson would have just died in pain. But he said, I may not be able to do anything about my eyes. But this one chance I have, my hands holding the pillar. Oh God of heaven, give me one last time. If I have to die making my impact, let me make it. And then the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon Samson. And while they mocked the God of Samson, strength came. I want to speak to a woman right now. You may not be physically pregnant, but I'm prophesying to you. You've held that baby for more than 9 months. It's time to give birth. Assume a birthing position. It's time for that vision to come. Listen, women, let me teach you something. One of the classic differences between a woman and a man is the womb. Listen carefully. The blessings of the womb is that it can take in again. There are women, respectfully speaking, who, when they get pregnant for whatever health reasons, they can lose their children. And while they mourn, while they cry, the miracle is that that womb is still available to take seed again. Every woman, hear me. You do not just have a physical womb. There is a spiritual womb. Your mind is a womb. It can receive again. Your destiny is akin to a womb. It can be fertilized again. Please listen to me. God is speaking. And Samson held on to those pillars and pushed one more time. Pushed one more time. And the Bible says, even though he died, the Bible says he killed more people. I'm prophesying to someone. Truly, this is not a cliche, that the greater part of your destiny is before you, not behind you. I don't care how it has been. I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. Tomorrow is better than yesterday. Brace up for a glorious life financially. Financially. In the name of Jesus. Spiritually. You can take in again. You can give birth again. You can prophesy again. Let me speak to someone who are praying. Apostle, I used to love the Lord with all my heart. I used to be a very serious Christian. But somewhere along the line, everything went down in my life. My fire for God went down. My zeal for the things of God went down. My commitment to my pastor, my mother, my father went down. Apostle, is there hope for me? Let me answer you. There is hope for a tree, even if it be destroyed. Precious woman of God, hear me. Let me speak to you. There is hope for a tree. Apostle, I used to have dreams. I used to have visions. The Lord used to show me things before they happen. But because of some kind of carelessness, my life just went down and it looked like those graces have been lost. I want to speak to you. There is hope for a tree. The word is again. The word is press. The word is again. The word is press. There is hope for you. And the Lord is visiting you again. Again. The word of the Lord is coming to you again. And the Lord is telling me to minister to you that it is not over. Ministering to you that your tomorrow is better than yesterday. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We are going to pray right now. All over the world and all who are connecting. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for you. Now, there are three sets of people I'll be praying for very quickly. I want to pray for people who are saying, Apostle, I'm agreeing with you and Reverend Sam and Mama Cynthia as a threefold cord that I need Jesus. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of using all kinds of excuses to cover the need for my relationship. Listen to me. When Jesus comes, he does not condemn. When Jesus comes, he does not point your yesterday to you. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. Rest is only found in the Christ. Right where you are listening to me, I want you to lay your hand on your chest. I know you are crying and I understand. I know that things are bad. I understand. I know you may have people in the room mocking you and say, will you also begin this journey? Yes, yes. Summon the courage to start again. And for some of you, you are saying, Apostle, I gave my life to Jesus, but I need to rededicate my life. I need to start again like the prodigal son. I want you to pray this prayer after me and let it be with all of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe you rose again for my justification. Now I receive the life of God. Now I receive righteousness, the gift of righteousness. I receive grace to live in victory. And I declare that from today and forever, I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus. Amen and amen. Now let me pray for you quickly. If you prayed that prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Ghost, all who have followed, who have made this commitment and this decision, I decree and declare that they are partakers of the life of Jesus. Yes. And I pray that their sins are forgiven. I pray that the grace to live in victory is released upon them. I commend them to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I commend them to the ministry of the Word. You keep going ever brighter in the name of Jesus. Now, very quickly, I want to encourage you, for all who have made this decision, I'm sure that there will be a link somewhere. I want you to follow that link and just let Reverend Sam know that I just gave my life to Jesus Christ, whether it's right now projected or at the end of the broadcast. Whenever you find the link or any number at all, if you are given any link, please follow it very carefully and let us know that you just made a commitment for Jesus so that we can pray for you and we can follow up with you. Now, I want to pray for people who need a miracle. Listen to me. I believe in the God that performs miracles. I know that we live in a generation and a context that may want to downplay the miracle working power of Jesus. Let me announce it very clear, very straight, that God is a miracle worker. I'd like you to say that after me. God is a miracle worker. One more time. God is a miracle worker. It's important that you drum this into your consciousness. God is more than a scientist. God is more than a philosopher. God is more than a therapist. God is more than a counselor. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, the monarch of this universe. And he still works wonders. So I want to pray for you. Now, very quickly, I want to give you a minute. Very quickly. If you have a pen and a paper right where you are, I'd like you to write something you want the Lord to do in your life. And you're going to send in your testimonies to Reverend Sam and say, at this Frontline Women Conference, I received a miracle. Very quickly. If you can do that. Otherwise, I'd like you to just connect by faith. Stretch your hands. I want to pray for you now. If you're sick in body, I'd like you to lay your hands. If it's your head, lay your hands on your head. If it's your eye, lay your hands on your eye. If it's your chest, just lay your hands there. If it's a part of your body that you cannot touch, I want you to just make contact with your chest as a point of contact. Very quickly, I want to pray for you. Jesus, the power of God is strong here. Miracles are about to be released across the airwaves. Agree with me. Agree with me, family of faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I stand in agreement with Reverend Sam. I stand in agreement with Mama Cynthia. And all these graces synergize together in unity. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to the downcast. Hear the word of the Lord. It's time to shake off the ashes and arise. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the sick right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be ministering just in 2 or 3 minutes. The Lord is showing me right now someone you have. This is glaucoma. In the name of Jesus, I'm seeing this in the spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I declare it looks like you have a condition that cannot be solved again. The doctors have given up on you, but in the name of Jesus, please take seriously what I'm saying. Glaucoma, I curse you in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm seeing a young lady, you're about 28, 29. You started noticing a lump around your breast area, and this you've not gone to the hospital yet, but this is causing you pain and fear. In the name of Jesus, that lump, that growth dissolves right now. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is showing me a man. You are watching this broadcast right now from the US with your wife. Two of you, I'm seeing that you're following this with your wife. Your name is Alex. I'm seeing your name is Alex. In the name of Jesus, Alex, I prophesy to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, supernatural debt cancellation. In the name of Jesus, you are behind on your bills and this is tearing you apart. I decree and declare a miracle for you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, there is a lady following from Lagos. You are following from Lagos. Your name is Kemi. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a miracle comes to you right now. A miracle comes to you right now. A miracle comes to you right now. Now let me pray for everyone with migraine, everyone with pain and ache around the eye area, every blood condition. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed. Be made whole. I'm seeing some of you, the power of God is on you right now. As I'm speaking, right from this studio to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I change that medical report. In the name of Jesus. We thank God for the honor and the privilege of having doctors. But in addition to that which they continue to do, we decree and declare healing right now. Someone may be following, perhaps suffering from even the coronavirus. In the name of Jesus, we stand in agreement and we curse that virus right now. In the name of Jesus. Stretch your hands if you are in need of a major financial miracle. Now listen to me. A prophetic push financially is not an endorsement for carelessness. Diligence, value, and productivity remains the key to commanding the wealth and the blessings of God. When you are diligent, you give room for the blessing that is upon you to find expression, to now be translated into resources that benefit you. However, there is an advantage that we have in the kingdom, that in spite and in addition to all that we do, the products and the services that we offer, there is a prophetic dimension, and I want to introduce it by the Spirit of God. Alas, master, it was borrowed. And he said, where fell it? I want to speak to people in debt. I want to speak to families and churches and ministries behind on their bills. It's time to know this God in a unique way. I speak over your life. In the name of Jesus, lending my voice with Reverend Sam, lending my voice with Mama Cynthia, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you, come out of that debt now. I call forth your destiny helpers. I prophesy to the north. I prophesy to the south. I prophesy to the east and the west of your region. Whoever has been anointed and commissioned by God to hold your hands and help you financially, I provoke their ministry over your life. In the name of Jesus. And the wine presser stood before Pharaoh and said, I remember my wrong this day. There was a man who helped me 2 years ago that I forgot him. And the Bible says, and the king sent for Joseph and they brought him out of his dungeon. I pray for you. Whoever has forgotten you, in the name of Jesus, I open the book of remembrance. And I declare, the Bible says, and Ahasuerus could not sleep. And he said, bring me the chronicles. And they opened it and saw the benevolence of Mordecai. And he said, what had been done to this man? I prophesy to you, your givings in time past to the church, your givings in time past to this ministry, all that you have done that has seemed to not bring rewards, I declare, let a book of remembrance be opened. In the name of Jesus, supernatural finances, supernatural debt cancellation, in the name of Jesus. For some of you, I prophesy to you, that between now and December, you will own your own properties. Yes. Come on, let faith rise. Let faith rise. Shake off that unbelief. The Bible says they limited God in the wilderness by saying, can God make a way in the wilderness? I prophesy to you, in the name of Jesus, come out of that challenge right now. Some of you may have legal cases, you have court cases, and humanly speaking, these cases are completely against you. But in the name of Jesus, we overturn. We overturn, and we declare that God will give you victory. Some of you have death sentences in your medical reports. We declare that you will not die. We command that death passes off you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I pray for a family right now that has been scattered, son somewhere, you don't even know where he is, daughter somewhere, like the prodigal son. I declare your children are coming back home. In the name of Jesus. For some of you, I prophesy your husband is coming back home. And for some man following, even if it's a women program, I declare your wife is coming back home. I prophesy supernatural reconciliation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray finally for someone who needs a fresh grace for the next level. You're saying, Apostle, I need grace. I need grace. Yesterday's bread cannot feed tomorrow's hunger. Yesterday's bread cannot even feed today's hunger. I have tasted of the goodness of God. I've healed the sick before. I've seen the hand of God move upon my life. But I need that grace to come again. Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And he said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Let me pray for someone. And I'm praying with my bias to those in ministry. The days and the times that we live in will require a supernatural impartation from God. You cannot do ministry like a social welfare program. It will take the supernatural power of God to dislodge the powers of darkness, the forces that hang around the second heavens, manipulating the destinies of men. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, I declare right now, according to Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, have power with God.
Yes.
I release grace upon you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Passion for the word of God.
Amen.
Passion for soul winning.
Amen.
Passion for evangelism. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare a fresh impartation upon you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I just sense in my spirit to release favor on someone. Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Very, very powerful. The Bible says, and Esther obtained favor in the eyes of all them that looked upon her. The eyes of all them that looked upon her. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. I declare, this favor that has brought emptiness to your life, your bank account, your spiritual experience, I command, let the grace of favor rest upon you.
Amen.
Right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Favor in your going out.
Amen.
Favor in your coming in.
Amen.
Favor in ministry.
Amen.
I command the hearts of men to be knitted towards you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Like David and Jonathan, let there be a knitting of spirits.
Amen.
That people will arise to support you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I pray for all those who have labored to make this conference a success. Those behind the cameras, those behind the studio, and the coordinators that represent Reverend Sam's ministry in the U.S. and every other campus scattered across. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, those who stand to organize the meetings, those who stand to labor in word and doctrine, holding the hands of the man of God and his precious wife, and all that belong to this ministry, we release grace upon you.
Amen.
We command that you are partakers of this grace. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to all the men and the women, Psalm 112. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. I speak to you that your seed shall be mighty upon earth. I declare that the generation of the upright shall be blessed. I prophesy to you that wealth and riches will be in your house, and yet your righteousness endures forever. A little will bring you much. In the name of Jesus, I speak a multiplier effect upon your efforts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'll be just stepping over shortly from the set, but I want to say this, very, very quick instructions. Number one, I want you to send in your testimonies right now.
Yes.
You can begin to do it right now. Every link and every platform that is available, let Reverend Sam know that this is what God has done and this is what God is doing. This is what God is doing in the name of Jesus. So that's the first instruction. Number two, listen to me. I want you, now I know Reverend Sam may not say this and he may not like this. This is a surprise to him. Please, I want you to find a way sincerely of communicating your thanks and gratitude to Reverend Sam. It can be just writing something on his page to say, Reverend Sam, thank you. You are a frontline woman listening to me scattered across the world. Do not, ingratitude is dangerous. It destroys your blessing. I want you to say, Reverend Sam, thank you. Thank you for bringing Apostle here. Thank you for bringing Mama Cynthia. Thank you for coordinating this meeting. I'd like Reverend Sam to know that we love him, that we appreciate the investment of the Spirit upon his life. Listen, practice honor. This is not my message for today, but I want you to learn honor. Honor is powerful. Do not trivialize the sacrifices of people. You see how Reverend Sam so lavishly honored our mother and the matriarch of faith, Mama Cynthia. I'd like us to reciprocate that same kind of honor. I want you to honor his wife. I'd like you to honor him. You are led by the Spirit to sow into his life and ministry. You can get the details from the officials. Why not? But I just want you to thank him. Let him know that we love him. In a world that trivializes the sincere efforts of men and women of God, in a world that seems to downplay the sacrifices of people, you may never know the sacrifice that himself and his precious wife and his family and his team go through all the time to bring the word of the Lord in season. Like he said, we're to be in U.S. This month, in fact. We're to be in U.S. for a conference, and only God knows what kind of investment had already gone forth for this. And these are the sacrifices that people make all the time. I'd like you to tell Reverend Sam, we bless you, we thank you. In fact, can we pray for him? Stretch your hands from wherever you are, and let's pray for Reverend Sam and his precious wife. Go ahead, pray for the first lady of this ministry, this commission. Pray for Reverend Sam. Pray for the team. Lord, keep them. Lord, bless them. Lord, uphold them. Raise Aarons and Hors. Raise loyal men. Raise faithful men. In the name of Jesus, bless them with the gift of faithful men. Bless them with the gift of faithful women. Bless them with the gift of partners whose hearts are knitted towards this vision. Are you praying? Pray for the annex of this vision scattered across the US, the UK, all around the world, with the headquarters here in Abuja, Nigeria. Go ahead and prophesy. The work will prosper. In the name of Jesus. Reverend Sam, you will never lack the word in season. We are speaking over your life. We thank you for your dear wife as she stands by you in prayer, as she stands by you supporting you. We pray for your lovely children. We pray for your team together, the kingdom, the power, the glory of God. The message committed to you will continue to go to the ends of the earth. No power will silence your voice in the name of Jesus. Your voice will become epochal even in this season. You will be at the cutting edge of this apostolic and prophetic revival that is sweeping the nations. We bless you. We receive you as a gift to the body of Christ. We receive you as a gift to our lives. In the name of Jesus, it is well with your health. It is well with you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. That every time you need help, God will raise men to lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord honor you. The Lord increase you. A big round of applause for Jesus. Thank you.